is Roger Shalom coming to you through Planet 104.6. Shalom, Jules.
Morning, Joan.
Shalom, Mike.
Shalom, Joan.
And we're going to hear you gentlemen in friendly, gentlemanly debate.
Well, I hope it's friendly, but I don't think it will be because we're changing the style. This morning, we are going to debate. And debate by its very nature, well, it can be two things. It's just a general debate to discuss things, but it's also one against another. That's the debate. And that's what we're going to do this morning, Mike?
Yes, we are.
We're going to debate.
Meaning that you don't always agree.
Meaning that we're going to purposely not agree this morning. On purpose. We do always agree, but this morning we're going to change that comfort zone.
It's not purposely. I don't agree with what you're going to say.
Well, that's
already.
I can hear the purpose in your voice.
Okay.
And the subject that we are going to debate is what each of us think, or who each of us think, is the best ever Jewish comedian. Now, there's a whole list
that's
of...
That's a subject. Wow.
Well, it's quite a tough one. Quite a tough one to actually choose. So I've chosen three, Mark.
Three?
Yeah, how many you got?
One.
One. He lost the debate already.
My one's worth your three.
His one's worth my three. Well, that's debatable. Well, do you want to start? You want me to start?
You start.
Okay. So my three...
Because you're speaking for.
I'm speaking for.
And I'm against.
So I have three. The first one is Billy Crystal. And the second one is Jerry Seinfeld. And the third one is probably one that most people don't know. Victor Borg. Joan, do you remember Victor Borg?
Yes, I do.
Well,
I didn't think he was particularly funny.
Thank you, Joan.
Whose side
you
on?
Thank you.
Shall we? You're the judge. You can't just take sides here and say, my choice is no good. You've got to say,
No, but Joan is the moderator at the end of this. She'll say who's won, and you can give up now if you want.
No, I'm just objecting to the fact that Joan is taking sides. You know, you've got to be impartial, Joan.
Okay,
thank you.
I'll put on my impartial
face. I can see it. Thank you. Right. So why these three? So Billy Crystal is a very long-time comedian, but he's not just a comedian. He has a lot of talent, and he mixes his comedy in with his other talents. And most of his comedy has a background. Most of his comedy has substance, not just funny antics and funny words. The second one is Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld was a comedian, but he's famous for the TV series Seinfeld. And that TV series, I think it ran for 8 years. And in those 8 years, I think it was rated, 4 of those years was the top TV show in America. The other 4 were somewhere near the top. And his style was, and he wrote all the material together with Larry David, great comedian. It was an observing show that observed situations and then portrayed them on television comically. And the third one was Victor Borg. Victor Borg started off life as a pianist. He had his first piano lesson at the age of 2, became a classical pianist, and then he mixed humor with it. And his system was to find the... not irregularities, the humor in words, in the way people behave. And he combined that with piano, absolutely amazing. That's my three. You want to give up now? Have I paralyzed you?
Not at all. Not at all. My vote for the greatest Jewish comedian ever is Jack Benny. And I say that for a number of reasons why he's the greatest. First, he came before all of those guys. And he, together with Harry Conn, who became his writer after Jack Benny had practically exhausted his old files of vaudeville lines, together they devised a number of comic stratagems, and many of those still exist today in one form or another and are used by your three guys. Now, Billy Crystal and Jerry Seinfeld, I have to say, with great respect, leave me stone cold. I watched, at somebody's behest, quite a few Seinfeld episodes, and then his stand-up at at the club in New York where I think he first launched. And I sat there for a good couple of hours and never laughed once. And I simply don't find Billy Crystal funny. Victor Borg, I do find funny because he has an alternative way of looking at things. The other thing that I loved about Jack Benny, and Victor Borg is different, but they tell jokes. I actually don't really enjoy observational humour. It's the common method of most comedians these days. And I after a while, I find it becomes tedious and I never become tired of jokes. Jack Benny did two things. First of all, he revolutionised radio by being the butt of his own jokes. And in doing that, he effectively epitomises the whole Jewish way of humour. And one of his classic jokes actually does more to epitomise the Jewish way of thinking and the Jewish character and culture than almost any other joke I've ever told. In this joke, you know everything there is to know about the Jewish nature. An old man is in a restaurant, and it's a very nice upmarket restaurant. He orders some soup. And he calls the waiter over after the soup is bought, and he said, "Would you taste my soup?" And the waiter says, "I beg your pardon, sir." He says, "Sir, please taste my soup." And the man said, "Sir, this is a very nice restaurant. We're not in the habit of taking our customers' soups." He said, "I want you should taste my soup." And the waiter said, "Sir, I really don't think that's appropriate." He says, "Please, just taste my soup." So finally, to keep the old man quiet, the waiter says, "Very well, sir, I'll taste your soup." Looks around the table and says, "Where's the spoon?" And the old man goes, "Ah."
Well, I don't find that funny at all, because it's just one of a series of these. I don't want to insult Jack Benny, but there's a whole series of these jokes like, "Waiter, waiter, yes, sir, is anything wrong?" He says, "There's a fly in my soup." And he says, "Don't worry, sir, he can't swim." Or, "Waiter, waiter, there's a fly in my ice cream." He says, "Yes, I'm sure, sir, he's enjoying the winter sports." There's a whole string of them. So what's funny about "Where's my spoon?"
Okay, but what's that? How does that defend your position with Billy Crystal, Jerry Seinfeld, and Victor Borg?
Billy Crystal has got substance to it. This okay. is just
oh, tell me, a silly tell waiter. Me, tell me a Billy joke. No, it's not a silly waiter. It's the old man's way of finding a soup spoon.
Okay, let me tell you Victor Borg. Victor Borg had this way of putting across a message. And this was the story. He goes to his barber. Barber's name is Mr. Schwartz. And Mr. Schwartz says to him, "Victor, how would you like your hair done?" And he says to him, "Well," he says, "I'd like the left sideburn 2 centimeters and the right sideburn 3 centimeters. And the top of my head, I want you to have 4 circular blotches. And the back on my neck," he says, "I want you to make that a zigzag." And Mr. Short says, "Victor, I can't do that." And he says, "Why not? You did that last time I was here." She's got a message.
True. Okay, now give me a Billy Crystal and a Seinfeld joke, because right. I already conceded that Victor Borg has got a sort of out of left field way of thinking, which I enjoy.
It's unfair. I've got to do 3 to your 1.
What? You chose 3 people.
I chose
people.
3, that's yeah. true. Yeah. I'm going to win this debate for sure. So, Billy Crystal was one of the things that he's famous for is he didn't actually tell the story. He just sat there. And it's in the movie When Harry Met Sally. Remember that movie?
Yes.
With Meg Ryan?
Yeah.
And the scene was they're sitting at a cafe. the two of them, and they're talking, and it's a lot of dialogue going on. And one of the things they're talking about is reaching an orgasm. And Meg Ryan says, well, she can fake it. And he says, well, I don't think you can. And there and then she fakes it, and she goes into this whole thing, and she's really into it, and like, if you weren't watching her, you would think that she's having an orgasm. And then she stops, and she gets this perfectly smiling face, and she looks at him, and then this right next to them, there's a table, and there's a single lady sitting at the table, and the waitress comes to this lady and says, what will you have? And she says, I'll have the same as her, pointing to Meg Ryan. Now, Billy didn't say a word, but isn't that funny?
Yes.
And that's the kind of humor that Billy enjoys.
Did he write it?
Well, I don't know.
No,
you got me there.
Did he do anything? So, Jack Benny said he went to a meeting for premature ejaculators. He left early.
Well, I agree with you. That's short and punchy. Can you give us something a bit more substance, you know?
He said he was born in a town near Chicago called Waukegan a long, long time ago. As a matter of fact, it was so long ago his rabbi was a Native American Indian.
Well, let me tell you about Billy and how I actually came to him. I've always known Billy, but I didn't really know about him. And one day somebody said to me, have I listened to Billy's eulogy on the death of Muhammad Ali? And I said, no. And then I went on my iPad and I looked up eulogy, Muhammad Ali, and there was Billy Crystal, and he did this eulogy which brought me to tears and laughter. And here he was, in front of, I don't know how many people, but it ran into maybe 2,000. And he stood up, and, you know, it's a somber occasion. And he starts off by looking at everybody and saying hello, and, you know, to all the family and the friends. And then he says, we're about the halfway stage now. And that's not actually very funny. But bear in mind that it was a big occasion. There were On the podium or on the platform, President Clinton was there. There were two rabbis. There were two priests. There were people from Muslims. There were dignitaries all going to do a eulogy. And he was like halfway, and he says, we're about the halfway stage now. And then the camera goes on the family, and they're laughing hilariously. So yes, Muhammad's just died, and the family's laughing. And then he says, when these proceedings started, I was clean-shaven. Simply to give a message how well-respected Muhammad was, all these people saying good things about him. And then he proceeds to tell the story of his relationship with Muhammad, including some very funny stories, and I'll tell you one of them. One of the people in their lives, especially Muhammad, was a man called Howard Cosell, Jewish. And Howard Cosell worked for ABC Television, and he commentated on most of Muhammad Ali's fights. And he, Howard, and Muhammad had this persiflage. They used to banter with each other. And one of the things was that Howard Cosell didn't have hair, so he had a hairpiece. And quite often, Muhammad used to say to him, in the course of bantering, he used to say, let's see your hair. And he used to lean over and like pick up his hairpiece. So the hairpiece was pivotal to their bantering. And then Howard died. And Billy and Muhammad go to the funeral. And they're sitting there quite near to the coffin. And Muhammad leans over to Billy and he says, Billy, do you think he's wearing his hairpiece? Now, this is Howard's Jewish, so you know you're Jewish, you're in the coffin, you're wearing nothing, but he says, do you think he's wearing his hairpiece? And Billy says, it was difficult to contain my laughter, but I said to him, no, Muhammad, I don't think so. And Muhammad says, well, then how will God recognize him? And Billy again wants to burst out laughing, but he says, don't worry. When he gets to heaven and he opens his mouth, God will know. And Muhammad looks at him, and he looks at Muhammad, and they start a little giggle. And after a few seconds, they're laughing out loud like two little school kids in shul or in church. That was Billy Crystal. He wove humor into life. And that's why I think he's one of the greatest.
I'm pausing because I'm trying, waiting for the punchline. And so is Joan.
It doesn't have to be humorous, to everything to be humorous. What has to be is a comedian must be portraying life. He must be talking about issues. Must have
that's
background.
That's a newsreader.
Nah, newsreaders are boring. Fake news, all that stuff.
Perhaps, but, you know...
Fake jokes too.
Pardon?
Could be fake jokes.
Fake jokes, yes. Well, all jokes are fake. But what I loved about Jack Benny is, one, it doesn't take 10 minutes to tell one of his jokes.
I noticed that.
I mean, the great thing about listening to one of Jules's jokes, or and indeed whether it's Billy Crystal's or one of his own, is that you always come out of it either feeling informed or you wake up refreshed.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your positive feedback.
And, you know, that's the thing I like about Jack Benny is effectively most of his stories are practically one-liners. They're short,
yes,
sharp, as informative and entertaining as Jules claims Billy Crystal's are, but they're over in seconds and you move on to the next. And I love that. And I don't know if he created the one-liner, but he certainly created a bunch of rules around comedy. And I just wish Billy Crystal and Jerry Seinfeld would follow them a bit more. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, most comedians these days follow these rules. And
what rules?
Well, most comedians are dull.
Yes, he had three rules. And he said, don't just rattle off a litany of old jokes. Instead, create conversations between speakers on the show, at least some of whom are continuing to participate, participants. And he said, secondly, let your speakers' unique personality and voices shine through as individual quirky characters.
Yep.
And listeners will get to know them and you and your group, and you'll build collaborative relationships. Now, you know, I can still remember, and, you know, Jack Benny was born in 1890, so... but I remember seeing television stuff on him, and, you know, he was incredibly memorable to watch and listen to, whereas, in my personal opinion, Billy Crystal and Seinfeld, not Victor Borg, I think he is indeed memorable, but I find them rather bland. And
you like a little soup with it.
Yes. And another golden rule of Jack Benny's is don't be afraid to turn humour on yourself. And somebody wrote an article about him in 1983, and it said that Benny was a character aimed dead centre at the universal tendency to howl at the self-confident man who makes a fool of himself. When he steps on a banana peel and lands on his backside, you guffaw at him, but you feel sorry for him too.
I see that. I see that. That last rule is the one that I don't like. The other two rules definitely apply to Victor and to Billy, not Seinfeld. I concede that. Seinfeld is outside of those rules.
Mm, yeah. I mean, see, and to me, that sort of self-deprecating humour is Jewish humour.
Well, I don't like that, actually. Self-deprecating.
You don't? Oh, no. I do. Because I
curses,
think...
Curses, yes. It's cursing somebody else.
You haven't done much about cursing.
But the thing is, you're never going to offend somebody else if you make fun of yourself. If you curse somebody or you make fun of somebody else, you do take a risk of offending them. You cannot offend anybody if you poke fun at yourself. And I think Jack Benny was brilliant at it, and I think that is a huge essence of Jewish humour.
I think a lot of the humour would be like if you have a president like Trump, and the humour flows then as people make fun of him, and he deserves it.
Yes, so that's making fun of somebody else. It's not making fun of yourself. It is funny. Making self-deprecating humour is funny, but personally I don't think it doesn't have a place in my...
I told you the story that there was a flight going across America, and on board was Donald Trump, the basketball player Magic Johnson, a rabbi and a priest. And suddenly the pilot comes in and says, "Gentlemen," he said, "we've got catastrophic engine failure, and I'm going to bail out. I'm sorry to say, there's four of you here. There's only three parachutes. Bye," and out he jumps. So Magic Johnson, the basketball player, says, "Well, I'm, you know, the world's greatest sportsman, and I need to survive for my fans." So he grabs a parachute and jumps out. And then Donald Trump says, "Well, I'm President of the United States, and people depend on me." So he grabs a bag and jumps out. And the rabbi says, looks at the priest, and the priest looks at the rabbi and says, "What are we going to do now?" And the rabbi says, "Please, Father, go ahead, take that parachute." And he says, "Rabbi, why would you sacrifice?" He says, "I don't need to. Donald Trump took my tullus back."
One of the things about humour is that stories are told that you haven't heard before, or situations arise that you haven't heard before. And Victor Borg was really great at that. He had two things that I don't think had ever been done before. One of them is what I call inflation. And he did this thing that he was really mocking the English language, because the English language have words and words that sound the same, they mean different. And so he said, "Well, wherever there's a number, I'm going to add one." So, for instance, wonderful becomes tudiful. You know, here in Auckland, it's very confusing. We have a suburb called Onehunga. It's O-N-E-H-U-N-G-A. So somebody comes here and says, "Well, why is it Onehunga? Why isn't it one hunger?" Right, so that's the English language. It has all these quirks and pronunciations. So then he said, if you're talking about this part of your head, which is commonly known as the forehead, it becomes five head.
So if I say to you, and you're going to answer me, Victor Borg style, I say, "Jules, I love you," what are you going to say?
Say that again?
If I say to you, "Jules, I love you," what will you say?
I love you three.
Thank you.
So then he said, "Anyone for tennis becomes any two five illnesses." So he did this in front of big audiences.
That's clever. That is clever.
The other one that he did was pronouncing full stops, commas. And he said like this. He said, "If you're reading and there's a full stop, well, you don't pronounce the full stop." He said, "Let's try that." He says, "We'll do it like this. A full stop will be..." "And a question mark will be..." Because it's got a circle on the top and then it's got a full stop. "An exclamation mark will be..." "And say, an inverted comma will be..." "An inverted comma on the other side will be..." "On the other side."
What One side of the cheek and the other side of the cheek.
And then he proceeds to read something. And it's silly, but it's having a crack at the language. And I and the entire audience that was watching this were in stitches. And he's got a straight face. He's just reading it. And then he's playing the piano. That was what really grabbed me with Victor Borg.
Mm, yeah. Well, Jack Benny had this sort of very sort of deadpan expression, and that in itself is funny, you deliver lines. But the very, very first time he was on radio, he sort of started off this self-deprecating humour. He said, "Hello, folks, this is Jack Benny." There will be a slight pause while everyone says, "Who cares?"
Thank you, Jack, for that. That's a point of my debate. Right, the other thing, tell us a bit more about Jack Benny in terms of his accomplishments. Like, for instance, Victor Borg, I've said, was a great pianist. Great. Classical pianist. And he combined that with humor. Jerry Seinfeld had a lot of experience, a lot of education. Billy Crystal had a lot of experience, but he was a musician, he was a producer, he was an author, he was a stand-up comedian. He was an imitation expert. He used to imitate people. It was unbelievable how well he did it. And that pushes me to say that these were the greatest ever.
Well, Jack Benny was the son of a Polish-Lithuanian immigrant parents who dreamed that their child would become a concert violinist. But he had other ideas. He started off as a fiddler in a silent movies theatre's pit of orchestra pit. But a brief
in a silent movie?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, the orchestra. The orchestra was for the benefit of the audience. But a brief stint in the Navy exposed him to the pleasures of telling jokes to reap laughter from his audience. So he changed his name several times. His original name was Benjamin Kubelski. And he changed it to avoid duplication with a famous violinist called Jan Kubelik. And there was also a comedian band leader called Ben Burney. So he became Jack Benny and toured vaudeville throughout the 1920s. And his persona was a suavely dressed, jovial monologist?
Mm-hmm. Monotheist?
Yeah. and a master of ceremonies, and he quipped about the frustrations of urban life and the foibles of his girlfriend while either holding a cigar that he never smoked or a violin that he actually couldn't play.
That he couldn't play.
Yeah.
Good one. Well, Judgment Day has arrived.
Well, thank you both.
Who won the debate? I vote Mark.
Well, I totted up the number of laughs, and Jules got one.
So I came second.
And I got five. But Joan is the judge.
Joan is the judge.
Well, I disagree with both of you.
Okay.
And I think the greatest comedian was... Are you waiting?
Yes. Right. With anticipation.
Charlie Chaplin.
Now, he's another guy who left me cold.
Well,
yeah. He was
the first, and he didn't even have to speak.
Mm. I liked Harold Lloyd much better than Charlie Chaplin.
So, we would like to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee.